Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Lauren Litton. Welcome to another segment of Quick Take Ohio, a pre-recorded podcast highlighting news in Ohio that impacts juvenile justice. Joining us is Representative Teresa Fetter, who is serving her third term in the Ohio House of Representatives, currently representing the 45th District. Throughout her legislative career, she has championed responsive and responsible government. Representative Fetter is the ranking member on the House Education Committee and also serves on the Committee for Veterans and Military Affairs and Policy and Legislative Oversight. Today, she's here to update us on Ohio's progress in addressing human trafficking. Representative, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
So in the past few years, you have co-sponsored two significant legislative efforts around the issue of human trafficking. How did you become interested in this issue?
Well, in December 2005, FBI did a cross-country sting called Operation Precious Cargo. And in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, they identified and rescued 151 victims of sex trafficking. 45 were children. 78 of the 151 victims were from Toledo, the youngest of whom was 10 years old. And in the Toledo connection, 9 local girls under 18 were sold as sex slaves. They were required to make, $300 to $1,000 a night. And 17 of the 18 traffickers charged were from Toledo. So that was very shocking. And I discovered by looking at the Ohio Revised Code, Ohio's laws, that we had a system in place that was fundamentally unjust and inadequate because of the glaring gaps in the law, and victims were criminalized. And the criminals have an easy, risk-free way to make a great deal of money. Traffickers, in a sense, were walking away from the halls of justice, and the victims were being jailed. And then we put a commission together. The commission research estimated that Ohio had over 6,000 individuals that are at risk for trafficking at any one time of year. And of those estimated, 1,800 are actually trafficked, with over 1,000, we believe, to be children. And we think those are very, very conservative numbers. So I put the commission in place first so we could study the scope of the problem and make recommendations and beginning. Really, it's the roadmap to combat it. And it's just going to take a tremendous effort in a long time.
And I mentioned that you co-sponsored two pieces of legislation. The first was Senate Bill 235, which brought Ohio up to speed with 44 other states that criminalized sex and labor trafficking, and that went into effect March 2011. And the second piece, which we want to focus on today, is House Bill 262, which is also known as the Safe Harbor Law, and that went into effect of June of last year. What's the goal of the Safe Harbor Law?
Well, the keystone of the Safe Harbor Law, House Bill 262, provides minors who are being sexually exploited to get services instead of jail time. So through a court order, we divert juvenile delinquency proceedings to child protection proceedings with services. But for due process purposes, the child is not mandated to get services, but it's just the safety net. This applies to both minors who enter the court system with a solicitation charge and, I think this is exciting, to minors who have a different charge like petty theft or drug possession, but they exhibit characteristics of trafficking victims and are determined by the court to be trafficking victims. Now, this provision is something that we comb through consistently. It's a victim-centered approach, which deals with protection, prevention, and prosecution. But I feel that after many meetings and discussions with just hundreds of people and law enforcement in the court system, that this was a realistic and responsive way out and to get help for anyone under 18. Now, other provisions of 262 include the ability for victims to get records expunged, the ability for victims to receive money from the Victim of Crime Fund, increasing penalties for traffickers. It's now a first-degree felony, so we updated the previous law. It requires mandatory prison term of 10 or up to 15 years, increases penalty for the procurement. This is the charge to use when arresting a John, and I truly believe it's just underused. There's a sex offender registration for traffickers, increasing penalties for obstruction of justice, second-degree felony. There's a creating a civil cause of action for trafficking victims, and then earmarking property seized from pimps for victim services. And a lot of times they wear gold, and if they're put in jail, they can get that gold back, whatever gold they have, and help pay for attorney's fees and so forth. So we're seizing their property. So it was really a comprehensive approach to quickly and comprehensively attack this problem. We also have a poster that can be downloaded and put in many public places. And, you know, we're beginning to really use this law now. It was used immediately. So we have at least 3 to 4 cases right now in the state of Ohio.
That's great. And as I mentioned up front, our show focuses on juvenile justice issues. And you started off talking about, I mean, even with an excitement about the diversion of youth who've been trafficked. I don't know if you can share a little bit more about the intersection of juvenile justice and human trafficking and why this was an issue.
Well, this is a huge issue because there were issues of the juvenile court system, especially here in Toledo, where juvenile court judges really had protocols in place, because we were just shocked into action in 2005. We immediately put a coalition together. Many times, Children's Services wouldn't take the children that were trafficked. It's a very hard population, and they tried to understand, categorize them as runaways. And that's another huge problem. We're not looking for runaways. We're not looking for missing children. And that's the most, vulnerable population. So, you know, we really looked at what was happening in the trenches. And many of the kids were already traumatized before they were victims. They have a long history of sexual, physical, and emotional abuse before they were trafficked. And those issues weren't really taken care of in the normal course of someone, unfortunately, going through that. So, you know, it was just a horrific situation that we saw many of our children in. And we even saw cases where mothers, you know, two sisters trafficked their children. And the 13-year-old reached out for help because she saw her 9-year-old sister getting groomed to do the same thing. She wasn't calling for herself. So, you know, we decided to authorize a juvenile court to hold a delinquent child complaint in abeyance if the alleged delinquent child is charged with prostitution-related offenses or if the court has reason to believe that the child is a victim of trafficking in persons and the allegedly delinquent conduct is related to the victimization. And they establish procedures for holding a delinquent child complaint in abeyance. It will include a hearing, participation by the prosecutor, appointment of a guardian ad litem, which is the key, because that guardian ad litem is their representative and all the decisions are made on behalf of the child. So we feel as though that person will be able to see if they're receiving the services, if they need more services, longer services, and, you know, we'll continue trying to help put those important aspects back in that child's life. You know, they make recommendations from the recommendations from the guardian ad litem that are in the best interest of the child, of course, and expungement of the record if the child satisfactorily completes court-ordered diversion programs. So, in other words, Children's Services will stay on the case for as long as they have to. It's a court order. It's not their decision. They play a role in it. But, you know, my view is we are not throwing these children away and just it's a way that we can also look at what's happening in our culture. You know, how many are homeless? How many are worried about shelter, food? How many of them are raped? You know, it's a way that we feel we can, you know, rescue, but also begin to protect. And also my goal is to put resources in those areas where we're desperately in need of them now.
Okay. And it sounds like for those who are listening who are working with youth and in the juvenile justice system that there's going to be a lot to be learned, and you know, be looking for some training on how to represent youth in these cases who may, in fact, be victims, and training for teachers, courts, and law enforcement on how to better identify youth who have been trafficked. I know you remain very active in this issue, serving as a member of the Ohio Attorney General's Human Trafficking Commission and training law enforcement around the state and seeking ways to better assist victims. What are some hopes you have for Ohio's continued focus on this issue?
Well, I consider Ohio still in the education advocating stage. You know, we are training law enforcement, first responders, teachers, nurses, doctors, many areas of our public life. All public employees, state and public employees are getting training through the governor's task force. They have a great task force report they put together with timelines and really going after monies to help secure the services. So everyone needs to become educated, and we need to talk to our kids. You know, there's age-appropriate material out there. The average age is 12 to 14. The life expectancy of that life, 7 years. And most people are not recognizable after 7 years, that they're drugged, beaten, raped. It's just an awful life. So we have to get in the mode of protection. We got to get in the mode of prevention. But I'm continuing to work on the prosecution end, but also things that make sense, like extending the statute of limitations for trafficking cases, both criminally and civilly. Terminating parental rights in cases of human trafficking. I gave you a case here in Toledo. Removing from the importuning law regarding 16 and 17-year-olds the age of consent concept, allowing for the mistake of age defense. When the bill left the House, we had anyone under 18 protected. In the Senate, they used the age of consent concept, and that needs to change. You know, the requirement that an importuner or John is only guilty if his victim is also a victim of human trafficking. A requirement that the importuner is only guilty if he knew the age of his victim. So, you know, the federal government, if you're a facilitator, a trafficker, or John, you are equally guilty. So we continue working on the policy directives, training programs, serious work with the Human Trafficking Commission and the Governor's Task Force. So everyone's on point. But it's very important for young people to be educated and aware, and that will help protect.
Great. If anyone who's listening wants more information about human trafficking, or if you are someone that's been trafficked or believe you know someone who is a victim, please call the National Human Trafficking Resource Center at 888-3737-888, and I'll give that number again, 888-3737-888. And to follow what is happening in Ohio, you can visit the Ohio Attorney General's website, which is ohioattorneygeneral.gov/human-trafficking. Representative Federer, thank you again for being a guest on Quick Take Ohio and for all your hard work on behalf of Ohio residents.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.